The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you. On the other side of the glass, my friend John Couch. John, engineering and producing the show. Together, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Monday, December the 30th, 2019. We're broadcasting from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Hope everyone had a very lovely Christmas and a lovely Hanukkah and Kwanzaa and whatever as we get ready to roll away 2019 and welcome in 2020. We're all, of course, hoping that it's a very healthy and happy new year for you. We're listening to 1030 Tucson's Voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Podcasts available 24/7 on my website. And of course, the live line number is 790-2040. We'd love to hear from you anytime during the show, especially during the first half hour of the program, which, of course, is the Monday political face-off. Our team of commentators this week, longtime Republican activist, former candidate. He never was a candidate. Bruce, you never ran for office, did you?
I was a candidate for about 73 seconds, running for what I thought was going to be LD30 back in 2004, until the lines finally changed as a result of the redistricting lawsuit, and I went from a plus 15 to a minus 15 or 20, and I said, I don't think I'm going to run, and I gave back every dime that had been contributed to me or spent or both, never ran again.
Well, he has had to run for things because Bruce is now in his fourth term as Republican National Committeeman for Arizona, and that is an elected office within the Republican Party. Don Jorgensen is here. Dr. Jorgensen is the former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. Don, did you ever run for anything?
I did. In 2008, I ran for the state legislature. Unlike Bruce, I was also in a minus district. It was a strong Republican district, but I was crazy and ran anyway. But I'll tell you, I always say I loved the process.
You did.
I loved running, loved being a candidate, just didn't care for the outcome. But I'm glad to this day that
actually,
I did.
Actually, you probably, in some respects, were better off having not won because it's a crappy job.
I have no complaints. Life is good.
Monday Political Face-Off presented by our friends over at Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family owned and run since 1985. Ann and I visited with Mo on Saturday. They had a great year. They're so pleased with the Buckmaster Show listeners. Family owned and run since 1985. Mo and his family create some of the most beautiful custom frame mirrors. We've got a couple in our home. My wife had not seen, Bruce Ash, the redesign of the gallery, and it really looks good.
Oh, yeah. No, Mo and Corinne have done a great job.
They've rearranged some stuff.
And I like seeing Mo's artwork in there as well. Mm-hmm. He's very, very talented. And Mo, if you're listening, I have a new project for you. Mm-hmm. I just need to get a picture of a guy. We're doing a kind of a recognition of a Washington Times columnist next month in Miami, Ralph Hallow.
Okay.
And so Mo doesn't know it yet, but he's doing the whole thing.
There you go. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Don, you had just a lovely Christmas, didn't you?
Wonderful. We have our daughter, son-in-law, and their new son, our brand-new grandson, Ryan, who's 9 weeks and just a joy. So we got a wonderful household and a great holiday.
Great-looking youngster.
Yeah, just a handsome baby. You were just
great
showing
eyes.
Us the baby picture. And Bruce showed me his family portrait that was taken, I believe, last night, and the dog was front and center. What a cute dog.
Thanks. A little liver and white English Springer Spaniel, Sammy.
Yeah.
And she's a great dog.
Anyway, just a beautiful family that you have there, Bruce. All right, I want to read something from Peggy Noonan's column in the Wall Street Journal. She says, we have entered the age of post-heroic presidency. Don and Bruce. Certain low ways are forgiven, certain rough ways now established. Americans once asked a lot of their presidents. They had to be people not only of high competence and solid, sober backgrounds, but high character. In modern presidencies, you can trace a line from, say, Harry S. Truman, who had it in abundance, to Gerald Ford and Ronald Reagan, who also did. Miss Noonan says, but the heroic concept of the presidency is over. Bill Clinton and his embarrassments damaged it. Two unwon wars and the Great Recession killed it. Americans would like to have someone admirable in the job, someone whose virtues move them, but they decided it's not necessary. What do you think, Don?
Well, this comes from Peggy Noonan, interesting writer. She was a speechwriter for Ronald Reagan, who she worshipped. So you have to understand where it's coming from. But my reaction is that it's just another almost pathetic attempt by a Republican to apologize for Trump's behavior, almost trying to, again, normalize it. But looking at the article itself, what does she mean by heroic? That's the question. If you're talking about personal values, you can look at, she makes no direct mention of Obama, who exemplified the highest personal values, family values. You could say the same about Jimmy Carter. You could also say the same about George Bush the first and mm-hmm. likely the second, too.
Yeah.
And so what's the value there? If she's disagreeing with policy and behavior in the White House, that's fine. But that's a different issue. There's another huge component here in going back to Harry Truman to the present, and that's media coverage. Mm-hmm. We know now, decades later, about Kennedy's behavior. We know about behaviors of the other presidents. And I think if you had the 24/7 coverage that we have today, if you have the level of opinion today that masquerades as news, you'd have a very different view of those presidents back then. So I don't think it makes a lot of sense in that way. But what's disturbing about it is, again, conflating decisions made in the best interest of the country by these past presidents with Trump's behavior today that is always focused on Donald Trump, the narcissistic behavior, the self-enrichment that goes on, the abuse of power for personal gain. That is beyond what any other president has done in the past. There's much more, but
okay.
I'll stop at that point to give Bruce a chance to disagree.
Bruce?
Boy, I thought we were like on a fresh new track coming into the end of the year until we got to the very last 30 seconds or so there. And the Trump derangement syndrome thing started happening again. I think Don and I are in agreement on a lot of things, so I'll try to focus on that. What Don said about the media letting us know who the people who have served as presidents are or were far different today than what it was. You know, you could go back to Grover Cleveland, who certainly didn't live the most virtuous life. Ulysses S. Grant, even though he was a hell of a general, was arguably a drunk. Chester Arthur was involved in all sorts of graft when he was the customs officer in New York Harbor, and then labor caught in a huge controversy with respect to patronage. And then you go to people like Warren Harding, who a lot of people know what was going on with him when he wasn't with his wife,
but scandals, right? Exactly.
And Franklin Roosevelt, I mean, for crying out loud, he was having an affair with a niece or a cousin of his. I mean, if anybody knew that at the time, I can just imagine what would have happened. But going into temperament for a second, because that is a little different than some of these other things. Again, the presidency has not necessarily been immune from people with very violent tempers. Lyndon Baines Johnson was, by all estimation, and you can read almost any of his biographers, he was an awful person to deal with. I mean, he was harsh.
Yeah.
He was vitriolic. He was confrontive. I mean, Christ, he lifted Hubert Humphrey up by the collar, okay, and kicked him in the shins when he gave him his instructions on what he needed to do to get the Civil Rights Bill passed in 1964.
Mm-hmm.
And I, When the 2016 presidential thing started happening, I never really thought that much of Donald Trump. I never watched the show that he had. I'm not into that sort of thing on TV. But while Donald Trump may not be the guy that I want to go have dinner with or go have a drink with or watch a football game with, he, in my life, and millions of Americans feel the same way. He has accomplished a great deal. And whether you agree with some of the things or not, irrespective, he has accomplished so many of the promises that he made when he ran for president.
So you're willing to overlook?
It's not that I'm willing to overlook. I know all of those things exist. Mm-hmm. I'm interested in results.
Okay.
And I didn't agree with hardly anything that Barack Obama did. In terms of his politics, in terms of his political beliefs. But, God, you have to be amazed by what he did. We don't have nearly the sort of comparison with the things that we are violently opposed to, Trump versus Obama years. But everything is about how miserable this guy is. And all of these claims about, abuse of power and self-enrichment and so on, get over it. These things have not been proven, either in reports or by Congress itself.
Don, why don't you take about a minute before I take the break?
Okay. Well, once again, I can let a lot of that go as Bruce's opinion, and I respect that, and
yeah,
I enjoyed the history
opinion.
Lesson until the last 30 seconds. Everything that we've said about Donald Trump has been proven by Donald Trump and admitted in his tweets, in the depositions, by the other witnesses, by Trump himself in his talks. So that's ridiculous. The damage that is being done, you can disagree about the policies and what he's accomplished. Yes, he's accomplished much of what he said, and that's why the country's in worse shape in many ways overall. Yeah. But one of the great bits of damage he's done is to the status of U.S. as the moral leader in the world. That's been damaged beyond repair because of his continual lies, his abandonment of allies. The trust in the United States has been lessened, which didn't happen under previous presidents in any way like it's happening today. He's abdicated that moral leadership. And that is something that cannot be repaired even in the next election. It's going to take probably a decade to regain what's been lost under this man in just 3 years.
And I'm happy to address those things if you want to.
We can address it after we take the break, the Monday political face-off with Bruce Ash and Don Jorgensen, presented by Moe's Gowrie and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgowrie.com. Want to tell you about a great season that they had, a holiday season that's still going on up at Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Mona's, located at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, had the pleasure of seeing owner and chief baker Steve over the break last week. He was very pleased with the season going the way. They had a great Christmas. They had a great Thanksgiving. But he wanted me to remind everybody today that a lot of people like to do a special dinner on New Year's with a turkey, maybe a leg of lamb, a beautiful roast. How about some lovely dinner rolls from Mona's Danish Bakery? And Steve also had a great suggestion. When you get up New Year's morning, you're going to watch maybe the Rose Parade or whatever. Wouldn't it be nice to have a Danish Kringle there for the family to kind of cut into and enjoy? So good suggestions from Steve at Mona's Danish Bakery. They're open right now for lunch, located at the corner, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, monasdanishbakery.com. We'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 850 transportation projects or service improvements across the region to date. The RTA is a state-established political subdivision and taxing district. The RTA's current half-cent sales tax funds the 20-year plan through June 2026. And the RTA is laying the foundation to develop a new plan. To learn more, please visit www.rtanext.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock-full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, the Monday Political Face-Off. Dr. Don Jorgensen seated to my left, Bruce Ash, who is the host of Inside Track here on KVOI Saturday afternoon from 1 to 2. You were live, weren't you, this Saturday?
Yeah, we did the Best of 2019 show and had a great time. And this Saturday, the 4th, Tom Danahy is going to join us for our annual 2020 predictions.
Yeah.
And we're going to have a great time. Actually, Tom, if you're listening, I beat you on most of the questions, except for Grijalva.
Yeah, you made a prediction about Raul. We won't go into that one right now. How about Adriana, who called us at 790-2040? Hi, Adriana. A Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year, Bill, to you and everyone there. So I want to say, as an American of Mexican descent, first-generation woman, I'm very proud of our president and what he's done for minorities and for women in general. I didn't need the Me Too movement to know what I stood for, what I needed to do to accomplish things. And I've never used the victim card or the race card. So what I see on my end as a woman and a minority, an American, is that there's more hate and dismay of or dislike for our president, you know, than there is love for the country as a whole to
okay.
do and move forward with accepting what he has done and what he has accomplished.
Thank you, Adriana. All right, Don Jorgensen.
Well, you know, it's perfectly normal for millions of Americans to love their country and not care for this president. And that's the case, too. It's not either or. A lot of times Republicans try to wrap themselves in the flag or wrap Trump in the flag and say that I'm glad this woman's doing well. There are millions that are not. There are millions that have been affected negatively by this president's support or tacit approval of racist groups, of hate speech,
Please.
Of the rise of white nationalists. He's given aid
Please.
And comfort. You can go, Bruce, you can go all the way back to Charlottesville
Please.
When he said there were good people on both sides.
Please.
And nothing has changed.
Oh, God.
As much as you want to deny it.
Yeah, when you go down this rabbit hole,
character,
Don, you're just impossible.
I know. It's when I quote Trump, I'm impossible. I would agree with that.
So
because you can't argue with it.
So to the point that so many are doing so poorly, the highest labor participation in the history of the country, the lowest unemployment for females, for blacks, for Latinos, for youth, for Asians, the highest percentage of increase in incomes versus inflation, low interest rates, a stock market. This isn't just a Santa Claus rally. This is a rally of historic proportion. More people doing things, the technology, the regulation changes, the things that this president and his administration are doing. It's not just Donald Trump. You know, everybody focuses on him, but while he is tweeting away and doing different things that Don and some of his friends don't like, there are countless thousands within the administration who are helping to carry out the things that have transformed this country into the powerhouse that it is. And if I can just comment with respect to our alliances with other countries. This is a country, this is a president who believes in leadership for our country as the strongest country in the entire world. He has done more to challenge our allies to live up to the agreements that come, whether it be in NATO or CETO or any of the other alliances that we have around the world. They may say one thing in public, but in private, what they are doing is they're bringing their support of our alliances up to where they have agreed to be. They are modernizing their military. They are doing things in the economic realm as well that are going to help us and help them going into the third decade of the 21st century.
All right, now, Don.
And what are we hearing? Let's start with that. What are we hearing from those allies? That they can no longer trust America to have their back, thanks to Donald Trump. Ask the Kurds how they feel about that.
Kurds don't actually have a country. But when you talk to our allies...
There you go right there. Oh, they don't have a country. They don't have any Trump properties there, so we don't care what happens to them.
Trump
is that
properties.
What you're saying?
Give me a break. You were just so off
base.
We
abandoned the base in Syria and basically gave that
really?
To the Russians.
Yeah.
Yeah, really.
Yeah. We have no interest there, Don. And we shouldn't have been there to begin with. And there's lots of Democrats that when Obama was there was saying the same thing, and nobody ever said a damn thing about it. Now it's this president doing it, and all of a sudden, this is heresy. You know, you talk to military advisors, let's talk about Ukraine.
Because Ukraine
is such a big deal now to Democrats. The most that Obama administration ever gave the Ukrainians was some blankets and bandages, okay? There is literally no economic, no geopolitical, no military importance to Ukraine. The people who have been the crybabies in this entire problem that has gone on now with the whistleblower and all the, you know, chest puffing and the histrionics with the Congress over the past several months are from people who have made it a career to think that Ukraine was the most important strategic ally in the world.
You've just made my point. Here is a NATO ally, but because we don't get a specific benefit from them.
Oh, you mean like
it's
a
not
Trump
a
international
primary
hotel?
Issue. Exactly. They're a
Anybody
NATO ally that Trump
has
abandoned.
Please.
They're a NATO ally. This is an agreement to, again, support each country in their interest against our adversaries. And here are the Republicans saying, well, they're not that big a deal. So what? That's the crux
so
of the loss of moral leadership. And that's the danger that Donald Trump has put the world in and set basically the security of the United States back.
No wars, no attacks in our country, and a world that is far more peaceful today in our realm of the world than ever before.
And tell that to the South Koreans. Tell that to the folks in the Middle East. That's
the first,
just nonsense.
The first U.S. leader who has sat down with the North Koreans and tried to work out any kind of agreement, much less nuclear disarmament. He's to be congratulated and applauded for it, and hopefully he will do something. North Korea and the threat that they have, not just
to
South
Korea,
but to the rest of the Asian continent, is enormous.
Yeah, and other folks would look at that and say, this isn't... Donald Trump's Neville Chamberlain moment when he's did nothing but appease North Korea, raised the stature of North Korea to a level that they saw it, basically gave North Korea and Kim Jong-un and everything he wanted in return for nothing.
And in the meantime, he is squealing like a baby because of the sanctions that the government has put on him until he does come to his senses and do a nuclear disarmament deal with us.
Ask our ally, South Korea, if they feel safe or not.
South Koreans are huddling up closer to him because they're afraid of him.
We have about a minute, maybe two, and less than two, and we're going to have both of you will be back in a week. And one of the areas that I want to explore will be the fact we're going to get the impeachment thing going right about as the primaries are going to begin.
You think?
And I'm just
We don't know if that's going to happen.
Well, I mean, it's going to take focus away from the primaries, isn't it, Don?
And some folks might see that as a refreshing break. But I think folks are capable of focusing on more than one thing at a time, and there actually will be a confluencer because you'll have a couple of the candidates for president involved in that trial. It's not the impeachment. The president has been impeached, as much as some Republicans want to deny that. This is the trial for conviction, and you have Senator Klobuchar will be involved in that. You have Senator Sanders involved with that. So there'll be a combination of attention there. It'll be very fascinating to see, again, if the Republicans in the Senate choose to have a fair and open trial or if it's going to be simply a Moscow show trial.
10 seconds, Bruce.
You wouldn't
Ash.
Know about Moscow show trials in the House. The most important thing that's going to happen in all this business over the next several months in the middle of the primaries is the Durham investigations, and that's going to be a major influence on the primaries.
All right. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com proudly presents the Monday Political Face-Off. Don, Happy New Year to you.
And Happy New Year to you, Bill. Thank you.
Bruce Ash, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. And best of my buddy, Don Jorgensen.
There you go.
Because after all, we are still friends.
And to Bruce.
All right.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Ever dream of taking a river cruise? Bon Voyage Travel introduces you to Ama Waterways. You'll explore authentic culture in captivating landscapes in luxury and comfort. All on board an award-winning fleet while you travel through incredible cities and villages in Europe, Southeast Asia, and Africa. Picture yourself on the river, indulging in Ama Waterways' locally inspired cuisine paired with complimentary wine with every lunch and dinner. Contact Bon Voyage Travel today to customize your river cruise vacation.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
This is Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Mo has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Mo for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at mosgallery.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Speaking of green things, they had a great holiday season with all those thousands of poinsettias. They've still got some over there if you're interested for the new year. Why not? Some beautiful colors. Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. They're on 13 acres. Not only everything you need for the garden, all those beautiful items from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe as part of Zocalo Village. So check it out, greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. George Hammond is with us. Dr. Hammond directs the Economic and Business Research Center at the Eller College of Management at the University of Arizona. George, how are you?
I'm great. Good to see you.
Good to see you. Happy New Year to you.
Yeah, you too.
You had a great year for the Arizona economy. Is great too strong, or is it, how about very good year?
It's a very good year. Yeah, Arizona generated job growth about one full percentage point faster than the U.S. at 2.5%. Most of that job growth was in Phoenix, but Tucson actually picked up some steam, particularly in the third quarter. We saw job growth at about the state average, also about a full percentage point faster than the U.S., 2.5%. We added a little over 9,000 jobs over the year in the third quarter. So Tucson is really picking up some steam.
Overall, over 72,000 new jobs in the state.
That's right. Yeah, the Arizona is growing strongly. Tucson is contributing. Here in Tucson, most of the job growth is in healthcare. Tourism-related jobs are doing well. Government jobs are up, both state and local and federal government jobs. Part of that reflecting the census that's coming up. But most encouragingly, we're seeing strong job growth in manufacturing across Arizona and here in Tucson. And that's good news because those are high paying jobs.
Weak sector being retail jobs?
Yeah, trade, transportation, and utilities has been weak. Retail is particularly suffering, but where we're adding the jobs is in transportation and warehousing. So the story here is it's the battle between online retailers and brick and mortar retailers. And for now, we're seeing the investments in warehousing and, you know, delivery of goods that are ordered online, and that's where the job growth has been, not so much in the brick and mortar sector.
It's a historic change from the brick and mortar to look what Amazon has done. It's changed retailing forever.
Absolutely. It really has. You know, we'll always have brick and mortar stores around, but there's going to be a bit of a reckoning here.
Is our population leveling off, George?
No, population in Arizona is still growing strongly. Same thing is happening here in Tucson. But what we're noticing is that more and more of that population growth is driven by migration into Arizona and to Tucson. Natural increase, which is just the annual difference between births and deaths, is really fading as a source of population growth. That reflects lower birth rates really across the board, but particularly for the Hispanic population. We've seen their birth rates fall really dramatically starting about a decade ago. And, you know, Hispanic birth rates are still well above non-Hispanic rates, but they're much, much lower than they were 10, 20 years ago.
For years, Sunbelt states like Arizona were considered below what they should be nationally as far as income. You know, you pay for the beautiful climate. That was the thinking. Is that changing?
No. It's a beautiful place to live. We all love, you know, not having to shovel snow this time of year. But there is a price to pay. Part of it is this idea that when wages start to rise in Arizona, more people move in and the drive puts downward pressure on wages. But there's also an issue with education in Arizona, really across the state. And, you know, if we go back to 1940, Arizona ranked fourth in the nation in the share of our population with a bachelor's degree or better. We're now at the middle of the distribution, so we've really lost ground over the past 70, 80 years. And that's something that we need to really pay attention to. Education has been important in terms of generating income growth. And it's going to be more important as we look to the future because automation is going to be increasingly important, and that's going to put a real premium on skills.
How about the outlook for 2020 in Tucson and the state?
The outlook is really quite strong. We are going to continue to grow next year in all likelihood. That growth is going to be pretty similar to what we saw last year for the state. Tucson, I think, is actually going to see a bit of an acceleration this year once we get the final data in. Job growth going from 1.2% last year to 1.5% this year. We'll be back to about 1.3, 1.1% over the next couple of years, but that's solid growth for Tucson. Arizona is going to continue to be one of the fastest growing states in the nation.
Where will the jobs be in what sectors in 2020?
Yeah, most of the job growth is going to be in education and healthcare, primarily healthcare. The tourism sector will be strong. We'll see some growth in professional and business services. That's where you'll see some of the high-tech, high-skilled jobs start to pop up. But we'll also see growth in call centers. And I think manufacturing will hold its own over the next year as well.
We haven't talked about housing.
Housing construction will increase over the next year. You know, construction has really bounced back, particularly the job growth is really strong these days. But permit activity is still, while it's better, it's still running at a fairly low pace compared to what we've seen in the past. So I think we're looking at continued fairly rapid house price increases around the state and here in Tucson. And it's been really rapid house price growth.
Inventory for housing in the Tucson area has been going down.
Its growth has been slow or falling, and that's a recipe for rising house prices. When you have people moving into the state, when you have solid job growth, housing affordability is going to be an issue we'll want to keep an eye on as we look forward over the next year.
A couple of days ago, George Hammond, the Arizona Daily Star, had a front page piece about automation. Automation is top of the mind for workers and employers these days, isn't it?
It really is. Automation is part of this new industrial revolution. And, you know, industrial revolutions are by definition disruptive. And we've been through this before in our history. And what we see is that the the machines don't eliminate all of our jobs, but it changes where the jobs are and the skills required. So according to some research that I've done, I think about 150,000 jobs here in Tucson, or about 40% of employment, is going to be affected in some way over the next couple of decades by automation. So we need to start thinking about what sectors will be affected by that, and what will be the skills that students and workers are going to want to focus on to make sure that they have a bright future.
What are some of those areas?
Well, the industries that are going to be most affected will be tourism-related, especially hotels, motels, restaurants, and bars, so food preparation. You know, we're seeing kiosks at McDonald's Safeway.
Sure.
You know, that'll be a sector that's affected. Transportation utilities, so self-driving cars and trucks, that will be a big issue going forward. Mining sector will continue to see increased automation. Sectors that won't be affected as much are going to be the high touch, the occupations and industries that work with people and interact with people. So healthcare, government, some of the high tech jobs generating, still government.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's still better to communicate with a human rather than a robot, I guess, when you're dealing with certainly skills that involved customer service.
Absolutely. Yes. But the artificial intelligences are getting a lot better,
I do want to point out you'll be involved with an event. It's coming up January 10th at the University of Arizona Student Union Ballrooms. Sun Corridor is involved with this event, one of our great sponsors here. The Arizona Daily Star, you're participation, right?
Absolutely. University of Arizona.
He's going to be involved. What will the panel be looking at?
What we'll be looking at is giving the community a real sense of what's happening in terms of this new industrial revolution, how many jobs locally will be affected, what the skills, in-demand skills will be, and giving them a sense of how local employers are experiencing this new industrial revolution, how it's affecting productivity and safety in some of our local employers. We'll also have a really great education panel, including Dean Paulo Goes from the Eller College. We'll have representatives from Pima Community College, JTED, K-12, really the spectrum of education, talking about how our local educational institutions are working to prepare students and workers to succeed in this new era.
Do you know the time for that event?
Yeah, it starts at 4:30. Parking will be free in selected lots at the University of Arizona, and it will be at the University of Arizona Student Union.
And for more information, tucson.com/thefutureofwork.
Yes, great.
George Hammond, always a pleasure. Happy New Year to you. Hope you have a great 2020.
Thanks, you too, Bill.
All right. The Buckmaster Show continues. Dr. Zach Guido, our contributor on climate, will talk about our year here for climate, and we look ahead to 2020 with Zach. It's the Buckmaster Show and the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. We'll be right back.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
The current Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year plan, the RTA Board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to identify priority projects based on public input. RTA member jurisdictions will submit their respective project lists by June 2020 for the CAC to consider for a future plan. To learn more, visit www.rtanext.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
At Sierra Tucson, we see miracles of healing every day. We are honored to be an international premier treatment center right here in Southern Arizona. Our comprehensive evidence-based programs focus on addiction recovery, mood and anxiety disorders, trauma recovery, including PTSD, pain recovery, and co-occurring disorders. Learn more at sierratucson.com. or call us at 800-842-4487. We work with most insurance payers.
Welcome back. It's the Buckmaster Show. This Monday edition, the last Monday of 2019, the Buckmaster Show, one of our great sponsors. So proud of all of these partners, Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. It's a beautiful area. A lot of folks have time off this week. Why not a three-hour drive over from Tucson to a beautiful portion of the Southwest, the land of enchantment in New Mexico, southwestnewmexico.org is their website. You'll find great places to stay listed there and all sorts of recreation opportunities, including the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument, one of America's first national monuments. It's just north of Silver City. So check it out, southwestnewmexico.org. Dr. Zach Guido is with us. Zach is one of two dozen Buckmaster Show contributors. His area of expertise is climate. Dr. Guido is the program manager, research scientist for the UA International Research and Applications Program and research affiliate at the Climate Assessment for the Southwest at the UA Institute of the Environment. Zach, how are you? Happy New Year, my friend.
Yeah, happy holidays, Bill. Thanks for having me.
I was just going over those numbers. The rainfall looks pretty darn good. We're almost 2 inches above our normal rainfall for 2019.
Yeah. I think given that it's the end of the year, maybe we should do a roundup of the numbers and see where...
Yep, let's do that.
...where 2019 fits in.
Where does it?
Well, okay, so let's start with temperature. So the temperature was the 18th at the Tucson airport, 18th warmest out of 90, so much above average there.
It felt like the warmest, but I guess I could say that after
every summer.
It's been
warmer, but you know, it's obviously above average, and that's for the most part what it was in Arizona and in the West and in the U.S. as a whole, so it's pretty consistent there.
Mm-hmm.
It is worth noting that 2019 globally will clock in as probably, I haven't checked the updated numbers, but as of a week ago, it would have been the second warmest year on record.
Mm-hmm. And when we say on record, Zach, we're talking at least 100 years.
Yeah, I mean, there's different data sets that people use, mm-hmm. But I think a good general number for many of those data sets is around 100 years.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Okay, we also had a high number of days with 100-degree temperatures or above for Tucson, so 73 total days of 100 degrees Fahrenheit or above, and that's mm-hmm. about 19 days more than average.
Really?
Yep, and we also had a fair number of days below freezing, so 17 total. Many people here in the Southwest may not recognize that, you know, it does drop below freezing quite a bit, so 17. Now, that is sort of in the middle of a median value for Tucson, so not too cold, but we did see a share of freezing days at Tucson. Okay, so that's temperature.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, before you move on from temperature, when I look at these historic numbers for record lows in Tucson, often it will show 1903, 1910, but that's not always the case, because a few years ago, actually for this date, 2003, I believe, we hit 19 degrees, and then less than 10 years ago, we had that spell in February where it was in the teens.
That's right.
And the whole day, I remember one day, it never even hit 32 degrees.
Right.
It was that cold.
Yeah, weather happens. And we, you know, within this broader long-term trend of increasing temperatures, which we see here in Tucson, which we see in the Southwest, which we see all over the world, quite frankly, you still do get quite a bit of variation in the weather. And so when conditions are right and you get this low pressure system that wafts down from the northern regions, it can bring low temperatures. And yeah. We expect to continue to see that going forward. When we think about climate and we think about long-term trends, we have been in a warming trend across all of the metrics that you look at.
Precipitation, are we out of drought?
So precipitation for the last, it's a good question. Let me answer it this way. So precipitation in Tucson for the last year was the 16th wettest out of 90 years. So we had mm-hmm. Our area, we had a pretty good...
It's a good year.
Pretty good year, yeah. Mm-hmm. The monsoon wasn't anything to write home about, but it wasn't a dud either. Mm-hmm. The monsoon was the 24th driest on record. So not an extreme monsoon either way, but drier than average. We have seen a fair amount of regional differences in rainfall. The Four Corners region, largely driven by a really dry monsoon, has been for the calendar year much below average, whereas the southern half of Arizona has been much above average. So again, we're here at in Arizona, we're 16th wettest on record. And then I think in terms of Arizona as a whole, we've had a little bit of climate whiplash when we look at it sort of month by month. We've had a few records set. So in August, August had the highest maximum temperature on record, and that and this record goes back 125 years.
What was that?
I don't have that value, to be honest with you. I didn't write that down.
Okay.
The other record that was set was the June, July, and August period was the driest on record.
June, July?
June, July, and August was the driest on record.
For Arizona?
For Arizona as a whole.
Okay.
Yep. And, you know, we had some rainfall in September that elevated our monsoon totals.
But it was a really dry summer in Arizona generally.
For the most part, yeah. Particularly driven by, you know, Flagstaff, I think, had one of its lowest, if not lowest monsoon on, mm-hmm. on record. So mm-hmm. the northern tier of Arizona experienced drier conditions than the southern tier. And then November, we just experienced the third wettest November on record. So, you know, if you look at, to answer your question about drought, I looked at the numbers. You have to go back a number of years to find cumulative precipitation that's below average. So when you look back a year, 2 years, 3 years, much of Arizona has done on average pretty well.
Let's see if we can work a quick question in here. Ingrid has called, question about water table and rain. Go ahead, Ingrid. Hi, Ingrid.
Anything beneficial to for our water supply with all the demands for increased populations here and businesses and so forth? Has it done anything beneficial?
Give us the beginning of the question again, please.
Will we have more water with all this increased precipitation?
Oh, that's a good question. Okay, thank you, Ingrid. So we've had a pretty good spell here, a couple inches above normal for the year. Does that change the water table much?
It can. I mean, so you have local recharge. Winter precipitation is really important for the shallow aquifers.
Mm-hmm.
As many people know, much of our water comes from the upper basin of the Colorado River. And so at this time of year, we sort of always turn our attention to what the snowpack is doing.
Sure.
We had a, as you know, the story goes in the Southwest, you know, we have allocated more water than historically flows into Colorado. So we have what's called the structural deficit. And, you know, we're currently in the large reservoirs running about 50% of full capacity there. We don't expect ever to be at full capacity, at least not in the near term.
But at least the reservoirs are halfway decent right now going into the new year.
That's right. And the upper basin has gotten early winter snowpack, which is really important. And, you know, things can change. There's still 3 months, 4 months left of winter, and we certainly can have, you know, a dry month or a string of dry months that can change the situation.
And
but
the three-month outlook for January through March is not really that promising for above-normal precipitation.
Well, I think that's right. It is not. The Climate Prediction Center predicts or forecasts for January, February, March, increased chances for below average precipitation, mm-hmm. but in southern Arizona,
okay,
they don't give a prediction for the upper basin, and quite frankly, I don't put much stock in that projection this year. In part because where we typically look, the tropical Pacific Ocean, there's no strong signals in terms of an El Nino or a La Nina, which mm-hmm. can really improve our ability to forecast. So
kind of a neutral year in the Pacific.
It is a neutral year, and it is worth pointing out that neutral years have brought some of the driest winters. I don't think that's going to be the case given what we've already had, but they've also brought some of the wettest winters on record. So I think in terms of climate predictions or projections for the next 3 months, we don't have a really good indication, and maybe it's just best to think about the average condition sort of playing out.
All right, Zach Guido, we will see what happens. Climate is always fascinating to me because you never know what's going to happen, right?
Thanks for having me.
The greatest prediction in the world, and things will change very quickly.
It's never dull.
Never dull. Thanks, Zach. Hope you have a great new year, my friend.
Thank you.
All right, that's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. We'll be back with you with a live program on Thursday. We'll be doing the Southwest Books of the Year. That's always a fun event. Dr. David Levy is also going to be with us. But just because we will not be here live New Year's Eve or New Year's Day doesn't mean we do not have a great program lined up for you. We try to kind of handpick our best of programs and present segments that have only previously aired just one time. So we've got a couple of great shows for you tomorrow and New Year's Day. On behalf of everybody here at Bustos Media in Tucson, everybody associated with the Buckmaster Show, hope you have a happy and very healthy New Year. Have a great day.